after you read the gospel, Dale, I thought my husband said to me, I thought this before, but my husband said to me this last weekend, in the way that gospel is read, if you think about it, Nathanael has quite a swagger about him. And he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And then when he meets Jesus, whatever Jesus says to him, then he said, how did you know who I was? It's sort of a, if you read it, it's kind of, you can just imagine a cool and tough young man kind of trying to straighten Jesus out. Anyway, but as our readings go, today we hear a lot about people calling, being called. Samuel, being called by God as a little boy as he lay down to sleep in the temple where he was to serve God. Called and called and called until he figured out what was going on because someone told him. Jesus inviting John's disciples to come and see, them inviting their friends to come along, and Jesus saying to them all, follow me. These cold, dark days of winter in Winnipeg, in our scripture readings, there are lots of invitations going on. And so what does it mean to follow God right where we are? That is always the question, isn't it? What it means to follow God not from across the Jordan in Bethany, far, far away from here, but from here, right here, from the table where I begin my day, by the window where I have breakfast in the morning, from your chair perhaps in South St. Vital where you watch the news at the end of the day, from the cubicle downtown where you work, where you spend your days, or from all the craziness of kids in the house or the worry of partners or friends down with whatever and in the hospital. What does it mean to follow God? All the Gospels have their slightly different approach to the story we know so well. And the Gospel of John, through it all, kind of says that the heavens opened and God's very self came down to dwell on the earth, full of grace and truth. I think we know then that that day and each day, God came not just to Bethany or Nazareth, but to our own neighborhood. Our neighborhood. Each neighborhood. It's hard to see sometimes, but God dwells among us. Among us. I have a friend, not a close friend, someone I know though, a Facebook friend, a pastor who is in his mid-30s who grew up in Swift Current, Saskatchewan. About 15,000 people live there, if you don't know the place. And because of his wife's work, they have ended up in the state of Virginia. Lexington, I think, is the city. He said that yesterday, flaggers, people who fly the Confederate flag from their big trucks, were driving down the street in a parade. I think it happens every Saturday before Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Sort of yelling at passersby. Sounded frightening to me. I couldn't imagine how the boy from Swift Current would react, never mind anyone else in that situation. And then I read more on Facebook today, the comments that come as they come. Some people noted the ragtag bunch, how it looks so much worse on the news than it is, the ragtag bunch of the group, and the decisions some people noted that they made to stay inside because they don't want to be anywhere near, they don't want it to even be assumed by mistake that they might be part of that crowd. Some stayed inside. There was another who said that he and his daughter went on their daughter and dad date and went downtown and ended up talking to people who were there for that purpose. And they began a conversation, and they got a subway ticket out of them for their daughter and dad date. And he, in the course of the Facebook conversation, talked about how he was of very mixed race. But somehow it unfolded. God came to that neighborhood to dwell in grace and truth. And the people figured it out. They figured out how to be faithful somehow, even when a small ragtag bunch was there in that way. Tomorrow, a larger group will be marching for Martin Luther King Jr. Day for justice and respect. And God came to the neighborhood to dwell in grace and truth. As I sort of read down that thing, I read another guy, David Allen Wells. His listed him as former package handler at UPS, former delivery driver at Advance Auto Parts, former laborer at Temple Builders, former jack of all trades, master of none at Sears, former direct support professional at the Health Authority in behavioral health. And his title by his name said, David Allen Wells, on the journey with Christ holding me up, understanding his grace and mercy more each day. So God comes to the neighborhood, and in the midst of all that goes on, we figure it out, like him, I guess. Why would we worry about going to dwell with God somewhere when the heavens have opened and the Son of Man dwells here in our world and the Spirit is given to dwell with us? It's a process. I was recently looking through a book by Rachel Naomi Remen, who's an American doctor, a physician. She told about being at a physician's seminar on listening. And she said they all were directed to take out their own stethoscopes and spend several minutes listening to their own hearts. She said that these doctors were mostly middle-aged, and she said they spent the first few minutes anxiously diagnosing themselves, which you can understand, fearful of hearing this heart problem or that, but they kept listening. As time went on, they moved past all that and heard simply their hearts that had beat their whole lives. She said, as they did so, they encountered the mystery of life. They had listened to and diagnosed hearts for years, but none of them had ever experienced that, listening to themselves. That day, they glimpsed something beyond their usual way of seeing and hearing, and knew that what they work with every day is life itself. Afterward, there was silence, and then one of the cardiologists present began to speak about his work and wonder aloud how one could be so close to something so holy and not know it. We know what he means. It sort of makes sense for his work, but I think the question can apply to any of us. How can we be so close to something so holy and not know it? Because this cold day in January, we can be reminded that every day we are close to things that are holy. Our neighbors, our flyer deliverers, the guy who collects my garbage in and wears a top hat every week, the trees around us, the earth. We can be close and not know it, surrounded by these holy things and not know it. We don't recognize it all the time, but I think that is why the words from the president south of the border are so disturbing. As he or anyone insults lands or people, we know that it is God's holy creation, God's holy creations that are being denigrated. So in contrast, we hear and we remember. We are God's holy people. For us as God's people, following Jesus is an exercise in listening. It can be like listening to our own heart, which God causes to beat within us. Listening to what keeps us alive, and more than that, listening to what keeps us loving in God's name. So this day in ordinary time, we call it, the season after Epiphany, it isn't really ordinary at all. It's a day when we listen to God's heart beat within us. When we listen for God to say, come and follow, or our friends to say, come and see, and then we sit down where we are and look at the good and the bad and figure out what that means in our lives. It's a day when we remind ourselves that God, who gave us breath in the beginning, also searches us and knows us, and that God, who gave us breath in the beginning, is the one who knows best that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God, who gives us life, also calls us, invites us these ordinary days to know that they are not ordinary, days of epiphany, of light, when we can expect to know God's presence within us and more among us. After those doctors did their work of listening, afterward there was silence. I said this part before. And one of the cardiologists present began to speak and wonder aloud how one could be so close to something so holy and not know it, reminded him of a prayer, which it turns out is a Hebrew Sabbath prayer. And this is how that goes. Days pass and the years vanish, and we walk sightless among miracles. Lord, fill our eyes with seeing and our minds with knowing. Let there be moments when your presence, like lightning, illumines the darkness in which we walk. Help us to see wherever we gaze that the bush burns unconsumed, and we, clay touched by God, will reach out for holiness and exclaim in wonder, how filled with awe is this place, and we do not know it. Amen.